You stand up. Okay, so can we just start? Could you both just introduce yourself and what you know, who you're with, what we're doing the interview for?
My name is Mo Lyons, and my main function in this organization is that I do media and publicity and that sort of thing. And of course, I'm also just a member of the board.
My name is Gitta Ritter, and I'm the president of this nonprofit, and yes, part of the board.
Okay, so what we didn't mention there is this is the Slocan Lake Green Burial Society. Oh. So, as I mentioned to you guys in the pre-interview process, not a lot of people, well, maybe that's not true, not everybody is familiar with what a green burial is. So what exactly is a green burial?
You should speak to that because you've been working on this sort of thing lately.
It's like right now, conventional burials, our last statement with this body, with this life, is going into the ground with quite a bit of toxins, like a vault cover with a coffin with metal handles and a lot of synthetics and that. And green burial is just going into the ground very basic, just in a shroud mostly, or in a very simple pine box. And the body only goes 4 feet below the ground because there's more microbes that support the composting process, while regular burials are 6 feet.
And also, we're trying to discourage people from using cremation as a method, although at this currently we allow the scattering of cremains because there are people who have cremains that they would like to have in our space, but we're actively discouraging people from using cremation anymore because it is such a high, the environment pays a high price for cremation.
And it is, at this point in BC, there's about 78% that are choosing cremation because they believe it's the best option. And it's just, it's a very popular method, but not as green as we think.
So in a lot of ways, green burials look to be part of the future, but they're also, you know, the part of the past as well. Cremation and these burials that we do commonly nowadays aren't how it used to be done. What are the roots of green burials or natural burials?
The roots.
Well, in the old days, people just buried their family members in the backyard. The pioneers did. And then evolved it like 100 years ago, 120 years ago, they started creating cemeteries a little bit outside of the village. And they were very simple, just in a shroud going into the earth. And then it became the funeral industry. It is an industry now that is very costly. And there's a lot attached to it. And we have gotten away from the natural process of leaving this life and going back to the earth. So the so it's going back to the natural process, which also helps in the grieving process afterwards, because there's a hole that's left when somebody dies. There's a hole, and when the body is whisked away the moment they die, we don't really have the ability to process this, what actually happened. And with green burial, it just brings it more home.
It's also, it's part of the as good as saying, it's part of the commodification of everything, that now death has become profitable, has become a way of, as she says, it's an industry. So that now, and also it has to do with how alienated people are from death, so that it actually puts this structure that kind of separates people from the actual experience of just going through life and then flowing out of life into death and then into the ground. And so this way, instead of going through this highly rigid process, we're offering people the opportunity to return to the earth by becoming part of the earth.
Well, speaking of the, you know, the commodification of death, like you said there, it it's sad in a lot of ways, right? Like somebody passes away and now you're instantly dealing with all these things that have to do with finances, and you know, it really interrupts the grieving process, and there's all these arguments among family members of how we should do this, how we should handle that. And it really is like death isn't a happy thing, obviously, but it is a time to celebrate the person you lost, and not a time to, you know, bicker over funds and where he's going to be placed. Is he going to be cremated? All that. It's really a sad point.
Of course, we're not completely free of that either. I mean, we have, it costs money to be buried in the Green Burial Ground because we have expenses to run the organization and to run the grounds and to take responsibility for everything. But it is actually quite a bit more economical than the average burial. But it just is really, we recently had a burial, our first burial in the Green Burial Ground, and it was so peaceful. It was everybody that came was that, as far as I know, was just so impressed with how calm, how peaceful, how organic it felt, that experience, and felt so connected to what was happening there and to that end of life.
And many people very touched because they've never seen a dead body just there. It's she was shrouded, but usually we see it in a box, and then when the box, the coffin, goes into the ground, it looks artificial. You don't even see the earth right around it. And this was very, very different. And her sons were very moved, even by the fact that not just seeing the body like that, but also her returning to the earth, and then there was lots of flowers placed on top of the body, and then everybody took a shovel and shoveled the earth in, and it was very healing for the sons. And in the beginning, when I talked to them and I said that they have a choice if they want to have the grave just only opened or opened and closed with a machine, and they decided just to do the opening because it was less costly. But they also said, but we can't do that. We can't bury our mother. And in the end they did. And they said it was the most healing and most profound experience for them.
And you know, the term closure is so overused these days, but we were saying this was literally a closure.
Right.
And everybody participated in burying this honored woman, and so it was, it really was a way of bringing it to a really lovely end. And the young men who were her sons were so deeply involved in it, and it was really important for them in the long run.
Closure in both a literal and a figurative sense.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was wondering about, you mentioned it a bit already, can we go a little deeper in just the environmental effects and how, you know, standard burials are and cremations are so damaging to the environment, and how a green burial really helps that?
There are some statistics. I don't have them in front of me right now. The one that I remember is that there, in the U.S., one of the statistics is that, anyway, the coffins there are, they're precious woods, often imported from elsewhere, and that they compost very slowly, so hardwood. And they said, and I found that hard to believe, that yearly there would be like I think they said 800,000 homes could be built with just the coffins that go in the ground in 1 year. I just thought that was stunning, but that's the one that stands out. But just with all the embalming fluids, there's like swimming pools of that, and it's highly, highly toxic that goes into the ground every year in the U.S.
You guys mentioned that you just had your first burial there. The Slocan Lake Green Burial Society has been around for 4 years, if I'm correct.
We started, the dream began to become a reality 4 years ago. You can't exactly say we started 4 years ago, but
the idea was conceived 4 years ago, and then we have been meeting almost weekly for 4 years with a board of six people just to do the paperwork. And it's unbelievably fast for a lot of people. A lot of burial grounds takes like 8 or 9 years in BC. So we've been the fastest so far, and it's fairly new.
Well, don't sell yourself short. I mean, 4 years of consistent meetings and hard work is very, very impressive. I'm sure you've accomplished a lot, and you should be proud of yourselves.
Well, we were also, I have a tendency to use a metaphor about the universe taking care of us, and I feel like the universe intended this to happen, because we initially had a piece of land offered to us that turned out not to be possible to use. And so we put an article in the Valley Voice saying if anybody has a piece of land that they want to be buried on, give it to us and we'll turn it into a green burial ground and you can be buried there. And like a week later, Cunliffe Barnett came forward with this piece of land that is adjacent to the cemetery, is a absolutely stunning aspen grove, and is a perfect, we could not have asked for anything better than what we received. And then one of our board members had a connection to a foundation that was jewel weed, is it called, that gave us a significant donation. So we right away, practically, we had the land to do it with and the money to work with. And then we had this dedicated crew of people who were determined to make it happen. So it was, and we had one person who has significant legal background who stays in the background and was able to help us through all of the incredibly complex bureaucratic stuff.
Yeah.
And so altogether, it was just like a perfect combination of things that made it possible for us to do this and to do it so quickly.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. It's not like I know anything about, you know, the bureaucratic background of putting together a burial ground.
Nor did we.
Well, I'm glad it's, you know, intense and rigorous, because we can't just have people burying bodies wherever they want. That would cause a lot of problems. Talk a little bit about what's going on this weekend. You're having an opening ceremony event for the grounds?
Yes.
So at noon on Saturday, we have our official opening, and we're inviting everybody to come and to just experience the grounds and also hear about our process of how we got here.
So you get a nice little tour, and you explain how the whole burial process works?
Yes, and we'll provide some light snacks, and there will be ribbon cutting, and
We wouldn't exactly have a tour. We'll show people the grounds, because one of the tenets of, we are under the umbrella of the Green Burial Society of Canada, and we are a conservatory, so we have very strict rules about preserving the ground as naturally as possible, and and as a result, we discourage people from wandering around all over the place, and eventually there'll be well designated paths. There are no markers on the graves. We'll have these big boulders that have we'll have brass plaques on them with people's names, and people will be discouraged from thinking about going and standing beside the particular grave site.
Yeah.
But to come to our central gathering area and just experience the ambience of the whole thing and to be there in peace with their loved ones.
And that's a big significant difference between conventional burial grounds, cemeteries, is that it's communal memorialization.
Okay.
It's not individual on the plots. It's in our culture, we're used to buying a piece of property and then we have that. And this is more like going back to the earth, and the communal gathering space will really support that kind of contemplation. And
yeah, well, that's cool. Small communities like this, it seems like the perfect thing. You know, a lot of cities or even towns a little bigger than this, just like you say, you buy that graveyard plot, you buy your house, and so many people aren't even connected to their neighbors. So it's a good way to bring people together still. You mentioned in the email that you're already getting a ton of interest, and you just had your first burial. So if people want to, you know, look into this as their option for burying a loved one, where can they go find more information? How can they get a hold of you guys?
The website is greenburialnewdenver.ca, and all the information is there.
Great. And before we were talking, before the, in the pre-interview here, you guys mentioned about another event, something coming up next weekend on the 29th, I think you said?
29th of October.
Oh, 29th of October, sorry.
What we're doing is we're as close as possible to what is in, you know, we call it Halloween now, but it's Samhain or whatever. It's the time when
the veil is the thinnest to the other world.
Yes, where the veil is the thinnest to the other world traditionally. And so last year we had our first celebration and we called it the Day of the Dead, but there were people who were uncomfortable with that because they thought it, they felt like it was cultural appropriation, and we wanted to honor that concern, and so we've changed it now to honoring our ancestors. And so it's a joyous occasion. It's a connection to what we call our underground community and the overground community, and you remember, and people come and they speak about people who they care about, and the place is beautifully decorated, and it's a joyous celebration of the generations.
Yeah, and the continuum of life.
Yeah.
And people bring pictures of loved ones that have died, and there's a big table to commemorate them, and there'll be a fire, and we'll be standing around the fire and singing and talking. And
last year we had how many, over 70?
75, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, and I suspect that this year there may be more because our profile is constantly rising, and because people did have such an amazing experience of the first burial that we had, and became aware of it, and that burial actually made more people open to the concept of using the green burial ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's going to be new and foreign to a lot of people, but I can't imagine any reason to, you know, to be scared of it. It's different, but it's not, I don't know. And for me, it just seems simple, obvious, especially if it can be more economic. Seems like a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anything else you just want to share about the Slocan Lake Green Burial Society or green burials in general?
You should maybe talk a little bit about membership and that kind of thing.
Yes, so anybody can become a member if you want to support the Green Burial Society, and it's $20 lifetime membership, and you find all the information on the website as well.
Great, and that was greenburialnewdenver.ca?
Right.
And for the event this weekend, Saturday the 23rd at noon, what is the address, if anyone, is there an address?
So you go toward Caslow from New Denver, you head toward Caslow, and there's Denver Siding Road. It's not very far. It's maybe 1 kilometer about. And
it's the access road to the Galena Trail. It starts at the access road to the Galena Trail.
And we will have signs up. So if you just head towards Caslow, you will follow the signs. You will find it.
Great. Well,
and people are not... We don't want people driving right into the site, but people with mobility issues will be able to drive into the site. But other people, we ask to park respectfully and to walk into the site.
Okay. Well, Mo, Gitta, thank you for joining Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for coming and talking to us, because we didn't know... We really want people to embrace not just our cemetery burial ground, but to embrace the concept and to pursue it. And more people are pursuing it. And get us involved with people, a larger, wider group of people who are involved in this concept in BC and beyond.
And in Nelson, there are steps being made forward in conjunction with the cemetery. And there's been some exciting news in the papers, and
I did read something a couple months back. Yes. Someone's trying to get it happening there too.
So it's
I'm sure I'm gonna end this. I think we're good.